learned last week as we kicked off this series that favor is something that everyone can access. And we learned that it's like an electromagnetic field around our lives, the favor of God. And we know that our organs in our body literally emit energy and power. And so if you had a meter and put it up against someone, that it could read the energy coming out of the body. There's a force field connected to it. When the favor of God is upon our life, it's like that. There's something that covers us, something that just shields us. And the Bible talks a lot about the favor of God, and we're talking about that today. In your notes, let's read the first verse, Psalm 5:12. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. The shield is from the top of your head to your toes. So the favor of God can envelop you or surround you. And God delights to bestow favor. Let's read the next verse. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The favor of God can rest upon people's work. If you want to experience a higher degree of God's blessing, you want more favor of God in your life. There are certain things we need to do to position ourselves to receive more of God's favor. Now, in your notes, there's a definition. We said that when we experience favor, it's an act of God's kindness. It's a touch of his goodness. It's a provision of his miraculous blessing. You may need a miracle in your life, something just for you. It could be in your marriage. Maybe it's in a relationship with a child. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's emotional or mental. The favor of God is a shield, a field around us that when we call upon it, God promises to give it. Now, I have to be clear, favor does not mean we'll have an easy life. Job is an example of that. He suffered greatly. But listen, in the midst of your hard times, the favor of God can make the difference. And this favor factor is available to everyone. And so today, the title of today's message is this: positioning your life to walk in a continuous flow of God's favor. Now, we have the pancake tent coming up this coming week. I want the church family to know there is one distinctive of our tent from others. And that is when we call upon God to live in his favor, we have to act in a certain way. We have to react in a certain way. We have to demonstrate Christ's likeness. But listen, the favor of God is this field of his presence around us, a force field. It's like a shield, a blessing in which he works. And so as you and I go down to the fairground, or if you're at home praying, pray that God will give favor and it will rest upon the entire tent and upon each individual. And in that place, we will have conversations with people that can make a difference in their lives. Next Sunday at the tent, at the church service, at the entertainment tent, I want to talk about net mending. Let me explain that. When fishermen have a net that gets torn, you know, they got to repair it. They got to mend it. Do you realize inside people's lives, there are nets that are broken? Life's not working for many people inside. But we can be a net mender. What do I mean by that? When we walk in the favor of God, his blessing, the words that come out of our mouth, the way that we act can help mend the nets in other people's lives to encourage them to look to God, to find Christ, and to be transformed. We can be net menders. And so as we think about the tent going forward, pray that we as individuals and as collectively one body, we will walk and live and act in the favor of God's presence. I'm looking forward to the week. This morning, I want to share with you three simple thoughts of how to position your life so that you can walk in the continuous flow of God's favor. It's not just in the home, it is in your business. You want God to bless it and anoint it? You want God to bless your office? It takes one person who's willing to position themselves in such a way, say, God, here I am. And as I walk in this shield of his favor, he does the miraculous. Here's the way I define favor. It's when I can't explain it any other way except God showing up. That's it. I mean, there are times in life where you realize, I didn't do it, nobody else did it, only God could have done that. And when you have those marking experiences, that is the favor of God showing up in your life. And he says, I want you to walk in it. And he'll bless our lives in a continuous flow as we honor him. So three thoughts of how to position ourselves. Number one, in your notes. The first key is consistent obedience. Consistent obedience. Read it with me, 1 Kings 2:3 in your notes. Observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. Circle the word prosper. You want your life to be fruitful and a blessing to other people? God will prosper you if we walk in obedience to him. What does that mean? We keep in step with him. We march to his cadence. We literally walk in tune with the Holy Spirit. And we make daily decisions that honor God. And we're obedient to that prompting from within. And when we do that, he will prosper us. Read with me, Deuteronomy 5:33. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Circle the word prosper again. Two times where if we obey, we walk in step with God, he says he'll prosper us. You know what that is? That is the favor of God upon your life. The Bible is filled with examples of favor. Noah built a boat. And the scripture says, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God said, build a boat. It had never rained before. People laughed at him. It took him years to build it, but he did it. And it says he found favor from God himself. Joseph, we talked about him last week. We find that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. For 13 years, he was in different difficult circumstances. One time, he ended up in prison. And the scriptures tell us God granted him, Joseph, favor in the eyes of the prison warden. You want to get favor with your supervisor? I mean, this works today. Your boss, whoever it is. When you and I obey God and we're sensitive to serving him, and you might have a rough, crusty boss, supervisor, maybe he or she is great, you can find favor in the eyes of the people you work with if you're in tune with God, because he can drop into your life something the other person doesn't have. Example number three, the birth announcement of Jesus. The angel appears to Mary, and you know what he says? Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You know what Mary was doing at her young age of maybe an early teenager? She was just trying to follow God's command and be obedient. You see, teenagers, this applies to you as well. If you walk in obedience and in step with God, doing the best you can to serve him, you know what's going to happen? God will look at your life with favor, and he will begin to drop good things into it. The same is true for adults. And so as you think about consistent obedience, that is the key, the secret, the key that unlocks the door for God to pour favor into your life. There's a quote here by Jerry Savile from his book, The Favor of God. Let's read it together. Make the decision right now to pay the price of obedience. Once you do that, it won't be long before you begin to experience a higher level of God's favor, manifesting in every area of your life. Hey, make the decision today. Now listen, none of us are perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But if you commit to be obedient the best that you can every day, to listen to his voice and to obey that prompting, to read his word, to walk in step with him, you are setting yourself up for a higher level of favor to be released in your life. And wherever you go, every person who steps into the sphere of your life is going to be affected by it. Isn't that great? That's God's plan for you, for the tent, for us going forward. Here's a quote by Eugene Peterson. A long obedience in the same direction. Here's what it's saying. When we do the best we can to obey day to day to day, it's a long obedience in the same direction. And you know what happens? God will multiply and bless you with more opportunities and through the sense of his favor. So number one, consistent obedience. Number two, the second way to position your life to be in the continuous flow is this: continuous pursuit of God himself. A continuous pursuit of God himself. You know, everybody here has passions for something. I mean, we all get excited about life in some area. For some, it's music. For others, it may be with their hands. For others, it's going to a prayer retreat. For others, it's serving people. We get excited about different things. But if you and I have a passion to pursue God, to make him a priority in life, let me tell you, you are setting yourself up to receive favor at a higher level. Read with me 2 Chronicles 26 in your notes. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. I want you to circle those last two phrases. Here's a 16-year-old kid. Teenagers, listen up. You want to have a good life? You want to have God direct your life? You want him to pour good things in your life? You want your life to succeed and prosper? It says, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And so we find here that this pursuit of God is a big deal. Make him a passion in your life. When you get up in the morning, give him time. When you get home at night, clear your heart. When you go to bed, focus on him. And the more you and I pursue God, the more we make him a priority, let me tell you, you are positioning yourself for a higher degree of blessing in your life. James put it this way: draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know what that's saying? You can have as much of God as you want. You want a big chunk of him? You want a big sense of his favor and blessing? Just spend time with him. Let him speak into your life. Read his word. On the other hand, people that don't have him as a pursuit or passion ends up in a shallow place when it comes to favor and blessing. Here's a few quotes. Here's the first one. You don't need to seek opportunity. All you have to do is seek God. And when you seek God, opportunity will seek you. Isn't that true? I mean, just prioritize him, and then he will prioritize you to drop opportunities into your life. Here's a second quote. God's favor chases me down everywhere I go. When you make him that centerpiece, let me tell you, his favor will chase you down. It will follow you. It will go before you. His blessings will be poured out upon you. There's a book by Tommy Tenney, and I'll have Allison put the picture of it up on the screen. It's called The God Chaser, and I want to tell you what the book's about. It's having a passion for God himself, and here's what somebody has written about it. What is a God Chaser? A God chaser is an individual whose hunger exceeds his reach. A God chaser is a person whose passion for God's presence presses him to chase the impossible in hopes that the uncatchable might catch him. Now, there's a lot there. Here's what it's saying. You live in a continuous flow of the miraculous provisions of God. If you're a God chaser, you go after him. And what will happen? He will come after you, and he'll go before you and do amazing things. So number one, consistent obedience. Just, God, help me to be careful every day to follow you. Number two, a continuous pursuit or passion of God himself. Number three, the part we need to play is this: a constant expectation of it. In other words, if we're going to believe God for it, we got to claim it and expect it as our own. We find some blind guys came to Jesus, and read with me Matthew 9:29. Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." How much are you and I expecting God's favor to show up in our life? According to our faith, it will be done to us. Now, the New Living Translation has a little bit different wording, same verse. Then he touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Let me stop there. Do you realize that if you have faith, some things will happen that would not otherwise happen? Because of your faith, it will happen. And so when you and I expect favor to show up, we look for it, we trust it, we literally claim it. Listen, because of our faith, according to it, it will be done to us. In one last verse that's in your notes, Job said this: "You will also declare a thing, and it will be established for you." You and I have to speak it. We have to declare favor over our lives, our families, and our circumstances. It's good to verbalize it and say, you know, I'm trusting God for his favor to help in this circumstance. Verbalize it. We need to claim it and make it our own. The key is this: have a constant expectation for it. Here's a few closing slides. Start your day expecting God's favor. Wake up in the morning, read some verses on favor, spend time with the Bible, and then say, "God, I'm expecting your favor to show up today in my life." Here's another one. When God grants you his favor, nothing can stop the blessings he has in store. Isn't that great? I mean, nothing or nobody can prevent or stop favor from showing up in your personal life, in your family, in your business, in your office, wherever you go, in the pancake tent. When we walk with God and the shield is around us, we are expecting it, we're obeying, we're pursuing God. Let me tell you, amazing things happen when we walk in the continuous flow of his blessings. And here's the last, final slide. Psalm 512. I am surrounded by God's favor. I want us to change that a bit and say we as a church family are surrounded by God's favor as we go to the fairgrounds. And when we all individually and collectively pray and walk in that to the best of our ability, listen, here's what God will do. He will open up doors of opportunity for you and me to speak to people, to do net mending in people's lives. We'll talk about that more next Sunday at the fairgrounds. But listen, be a net mender. What does that mean? You step into somebody's life, and because the favor of God is upon you, it surrounds you, it rests upon you, it literally goes before you. You can speak into somebody else's life because God's presence is using you to be a blessing to the people in front of you. That's how the favor of God works. So I'm excited about next week. Just because as we call upon God for his favor, good things can happen. And we're going to have an exciting week at the fairgrounds. I'm going to close in prayer, and then Pastor Jack's going to come and lead us in our communion ritual. But I want you to check your own heart and say, where are you at in your relationship with Christ? And whether you commit for the first time or you recommit your life to him, be hungry for his favor. Consistent obedience, continuous pursuit of God himself, and a constant expectation. And you can live an exciting life in a way you've never lived before. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I just want to lead us in a simple prayer of commitment or recommitment. And you can pray this silently right where you're at. Father in heaven, here's my life. I commit myself to you. Forgive me for trying to do life on my own. I confess I need you. And I just surrender my life to Jesus in this very moment and ask him to bestow his favor upon me in all that I do going forward. If you prayed that prayer, put your hand up and put it down. Anybody here? Thank you. A whole bunch of hands. And Father, for those that are here and they just want to recommit themselves, Lord, I recommit my heart to you. Just pray it silently after me. I ask that you'll go before me. And at the week coming up at the tent, or even if I'm in the community and don't go to the fair, I pray your blessing upon me. Help me to be available. That you would bestow on me the electromagnetic field, the force field of your presence, that I could be a net mentor to other people. So Lord, I just commit all of us as a church family to you. That you'll take us individually and collectively, and we commit this week to you, and we pray that the favor of God, the shield of God, would be over the tent the entire week, and we would be dispersed to be net menders to every person we talk to. And may you be glorified to do the miraculous, even in our midst at the fairground, because of your presence that goes before us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Pastor Jack.